He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
Dada.
You know, and you know, it's because, like, you know, he's expecting to be paid a max contract, and he is not currently worth a max contract, and he will not be worth a max contract next year or the years afterward. He might be in the postseason, but, like, you're not guaranteed that you're going to make it to the postseason if you're paying Jimmy Butler max money in this CBA. And like, as all of this is going on, we get to sit here and we get to watch LeBron at age 40. And I know that there's a lot of nonsense that we have to put up with too. Bronny James is on this roster, but, like, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we have to put up with, and a lot of noise that comes with employing LeBron James too. But it's also like, you also get to watch games like this where Anthony Davis is going to sit. They're still trying to figure it out with Dorian Finney-Smith, and they're still trying to figure it out, like, figure out the offense without D'Angelo Russell. And LeBron's just like, don't worry about this. Like, we're good. I got this. Let's go ahead. Let's pick up this win and then get ready for Atlanta tomorrow.
Right. It's always so absurd. Obviously, I'm not comparing the two players at all, but obviously Max Christie had his career high tonight, right? I think he finished with 27 or 28. That's what LeBron averages. You know, it's just insane. And I'm not comparing Max to LeBron. It's just absurd the consistency that LeBron plays with. They did, like, LeBron's averages from Monday through Sunday, and it's just 28, 8, and 8, no matter what day it is. He's just so consistent. It's absolutely absurd. So, yeah, we're very, you know, blessed to be able to watch him. And it's been cool that for him to be in L.A., Anthony, I don't think I would have appreciated LeBron if he never, like, in the same way that I do now, because he's obviously in L.A., and I've lost count how many times I've seen LeBron in person, which means I've seen him, you know, play live more than I saw, you know, Kobe play even when I was growing up, which is kind of insane to me. But yeah, you get a, you know, renewed appreciation when a guy's, you know, playing for your team every night. And it's been just cool to watch, and it's insane to watch him just continue to do this every single night.
Yeah, it's we're probably not going to see this happen again.
No,
I'm not going to say definitely never, because, you know, players are aging better now and guys understand how to take better care of their bodies and all that stuff. But I can say that this is one of the most insane things that I have ever seen in my life as a sports fan. And I'm the same guy that, like, Harrison the other day, we were doing a show, and he was marveling at the fact that I knew exactly what the Lakers traded for Trevor Ariza back in 2007. Like, I remember Jen's always annoyed. Like, I wish I knew my kids' birthdays better, but I know a bunch of sports stuff. I have a great sports memory. I have never seen anything like this when it comes to sports, you know, and you could say, like, Tom Brady won a Super Bowl at a certain age, and you could say, you know, some guys age very well in baseball and stuff like that. But, like, on a night by night basis, where in basketball, like, it is every night or is every other night. And LeBron has to play on both sides of the ball. For LeBron still at this age to be able to decide on a random Thursday in January, nah, I got this. I'll just go ahead and beat the Blazers tonight. That's crazy. At 40? That's insane. That is, I don't think I'm ever going to see anything like this again.
Me either. And I think he's just going to run the score up so much that no one's ever going to be close. They put up, like, the 30-point games. Obviously, he already has the points lead. I think he's, like, 60 or 70 games from the most games, you know, played in a career. And obviously, he's going to run past that if he, you know, obviously finishes this season and plays whatever he is next season, whatever it is beyond. I was, you know, texting with Sabrina, and I said he might be Anthony the first player to walk away just because he doesn't want to do it anymore. Yeah, like no one else has been able to say that. They've all had, you know, their stardom stripped from them from injury or from age, and he'll continue to be a top 10 to 15 player as long as he wants to be. And that's that part I don't think will ever be replicated.
Yeah. Let's really quickly here talk about Austin before we get into the starred comments, because we got to talk about Austin. We got to talk about the trade. But Austin tonight, again, plus 10 on the night. Only Dorian had a higher plus minus here. He had plus 11. He was a plus 11 on the game. Austin was a couple of rebounds away from a 35-point triple-double the other night. He's a couple of rebounds away from a triple-double here tonight. He was like the first, you know, he joined like an insane group of Lakers to have, you know, 55 points and like, you know, 20 something assists in two straight games or something like that, the way that he did. Since he's been kind of handed the reins to the offense, and specifically since Max Christie has gotten into the starting lineup, we are nearing that point here where the sample sizes start mattering. I don't think we're quite there yet. I think we still need to get a little bit more. People are asking in the chat, like, for me to talk about Rui. I'm in too good of a mood, frankly. Like, I don't want to talk about Rui. I think the Lakers should trade him. There's my Rui take. But like, but like, I think, like, talk about Austin. Like, this was a game that he didn't shoot the ball particularly well, but had complete command over the offense. And it's been wild to watch this dude, undrafted guy, you know, some like 6'4", 6'5" white guy who doesn't blow you away athletically. Is just like a fundamentally great basketball player. Like, his fundamentals are great, and his understanding of the basketball, like of how to play basketball, is great. This is like, we talk about like Austin, like kind of growing into his own and how fun it is to watch that. I'm having more fun watching Austin. What did I say? I said Max before. Max. I should have meant Max. Yeah.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
But like, as much fun as it is to watch Max kind of grow into this role, Austin's role is even bigger.
Way bigger.
And it's that much more fun. Now, I was kind of talking with Pete, like, you know, because we were talking about the Dorian trade, and his concern is, you know, potentially that Max might not be like an NBA championship caliber point guard. And I get it to a certain extent, but like, if these sample sizes continue the way that they are, it's going to be kind of tough to like say that he isn't either.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, with Austin, like, I've been high on him since his rookie year. I was, you know, saying he should have been playing more even that season. Yep. This mix of playmaking and scoring, like, this is a ceiling that not a lot of dudes get to. And even, you know, fine, good players, they kind of cap out at a certain amount. For him to be at just consistent double-digit assists, obviously the Christmas game was, you know, he had a huge game there. And you mentioned that crazy stat where it's him, Magic Johnson, and Kobe. I think they're the only, it's a crazy kind of, you know, mix to be a part of that had like plus 50 points and over 30 assists or whatever.
You know how hard it is? Like, you know how crazy it is, Raj, that he would be in a grouping of Magic Johnson and Kobe, and you wouldn't see that meme of the two, like,
all right,
like those two like mean looking dragons and the little doofus one. Like, the fact that we didn't get that doofus, like that Austin wasn't turned into that doofus dragon, is crazy. It's absolutely insane. You're talking about Magic Johnson, you're talking about Kobe Bryant, two pillars of the Los Angeles Lakers organization in the history of the most like historic franchise in of this NBA that we love. And Max is just like, he like, sure, he belongs in that grouping. Sure, why not?
Right. And I'm gonna pair this game with the Cleveland game, Anthony, because like, obviously that's more of an elite team, but just the way Cleveland was guarding and the way that Portland was guarding was completely different, right? Cleveland was backed off but they had guards super aggressive chasing around, but their big man was, you know, backing up in a drop coverage, and Austin cooked them like every which way, frying them, you know, not a chef, but like frying them back and forth in multiple different ways. Pull up jump shots, floaters, step back threes, crossover left, right, in and out dribble. And his just bag continues to grow in at a pace where I, like, even, you know, I, even as a high, you know, person was high on Austin, did not see. And then tonight the shot wasn't there, but he was diming. Like, his assists are getting, are improving with each kind of rep that he gets. And I say this all the time about passers. There's difference between like reading a different, a defense versus manipulating, right? And Austin's starting to manipulate defenses. He's starting to say, okay, like, my goal on this play is to get Koloko a dunk. So to do that, I need to drive and draw the help here. Or Max is hot, right? I need to get him open on a corner three. So to do that, the help has to come from the weak side on this position. And those are like little reads that you're seeing him get better and better at. There's obviously still going to be turnovers when you get this much of a high usage. But yeah, he's hitting like a pretty crazy ceiling, and it's becoming very, very consistent against very good teams with good defenses who are like Portland game plan for him. Tonight, JJ Redick, I don't know if you heard JJ on the walk-off at halftime, but he said Portland threw Kamara on Austin instead of LeBron because, he, you know, Kamara is their best defender. He's like, that's a hell of a show of respect to Austin. So, no, it's been cool to watch him. Max, to me, Max's growth kind of, he went from, you know, playing with the G League guys to starting two guard on the Lakers. That growth, that jumps a little longer, even though it's not the jump that Austin's taking, but no, Austin's completely jumped, and he's been handed the keys, and he's like, I'm not going to get any scratches on this car. I'm driving it straight. I'm going through, and I'm getting us to our destination, which is really, really cool to see.
I actually think Austin's jump this year is more impressive than even Max's, because it's like you'll see this every so often where an NBA team goes from like 25 wins to like 45 or something like that, you know, or 25 wins to like, you know, low to mid 40s. And it's like, damn, that's a big jump, right? But actually, it's a significantly harder jump to go from like 45 wins to like 50 or 50 or more, even though that's fewer games of a jump. But like for Matt, for Austin to go from like, I think he can be handed the keys and see how this goes, to like, oh no, he can. Now, I do still have some concerns about him against like longer, athletic, more physical defensive teams. He needs to, you know, show that he's a little bit better in those spots than he has been to this point. But this has been wild. Like, since Max has stepped into the starting lineup, this run that Austin is on has been absolutely insane. I'm just going to pull up his game log here, because it's just, you know, I think Max stepped into the starting group after the Atlanta loss, right? Which was, let's see, I forgot. ESPN goes backwards. So the Lakers lost that overtime game in Atlanta, and then the next game, Max started starting. Why isn't this pulling up? Portland.
Yeah, it was definitely after the Atlanta game was when.
Yeah, why isn't it showing up? October. October is the beginning of the season. ESPN.
So they lost to Atlanta. Then they had the home game against Portland. And then Minnesota, Memphis.
The Atlanta game isn't even showing up. ESPN's game log is broken. Austin Reeves game log. ESPN, you're worthless. All right. And now Basketball Reference only has the last five games. I want all of his games. Why can't we just... What are we doing here?
So you're looking for the ones after the Atlanta game?
After the Atlanta game, yeah.
So he sat out against Portland. So from following that, he had 18-6-5 in Minnesota, then 19-8, you know, versus Memphis, and then here comes the run. So the road games in Sacramento, he goes 25-6-5 follows that up with 16-4-5, two road wins, home game against Portland, against Detroit, 12-7-2, and then just the absurd in Golden State, 26-10-10, home against the Kings, 26-16-6, home against Cleveland, 35-9-10, and then obviously tonight, the 15 points, 11 assists, 9 at halftime. And I think the rebounding also, Anthony, is a little underrated as well. He's rebounding the hell out of the basketball. 10, 6, 9, 8 in the last four games, averaging like around 8 to 9 rebounds. Just he's been fantastic. And on the defensive end too, obviously he's not a great defender, but moves his feet, usually is in the right spot, draws charges. There's a compete level on that end that he shows. That kind of shows the conditioning he's in as well. He's really stepped up recently.
I think also important here is the free throws. So like, all right, so I finally got to Basketball Reference's actual game log. Shouts to Google for making everything so freaking difficult.
The first few weeks back at school set the tone for the entire year. But with new teachers, schedules, and expectations, it can feel like a lot. If you're looking to help your child start strong and stay confident, I've been using IXL to make that transition so much easier. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, it adapts to each child's level and pace, making it easy to spot and close learning gaps in just a few minutes a day before those gaps can snowball. Plus, it's trusted nationwide. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL, and it's used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. It's an easy, cost-effective way to get kids back into a learning routine and walking into class feeling ready and reassured. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off an IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
This summer, I'm taking a new approach to styling the smallest spaces in my house with help from Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has the small space solutions that America's waited 250 years for, like retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, dinner party ready dining sets in 4 fun colors, stylish, spacious Bobopedic sofas, and feature packed power recliners that let me kick back in even the smallest rooms. Plus, I know that Bob's styles are backed by thousands of real 5-star customer reviews, so I can trust that the furniture that I'm getting is not just affordable, but built to last. And the best part? Bob's Furniture ships fast, so I can enjoy my new styles all summer long. So when you're ready to ditch the furniture you're not excited about for the latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
So yeah, starting with Minnesota, where you know, where he got into, you know, Max was in the starting lineup and he was in the starting lineup too. Only 2 free throws against Minnesota, which wasn't great. 5 against Memphis was a step in the right direction. Then it was 9, and then 5, and then 6, and then 8, and then 13 against Cleveland. Tonight he shot 3 free throws. Like, I like the now. I think it was Jared Allen, like, kind of gave him a bit of a jab for saying that, like, the Cavs pay like play ethical basketball or whatever. Austin, but like the thing is, Austin always embellishes contact. He's always been a bit of a flopper. But he wasn't putting himself in positions to where like referees were rewarding him for that or acknowledging the contact. And now with the way that he is playing offensively, he's putting himself into spots on the court where like he's getting back to getting some of those reputation calls. He's starting to like put himself in spots where that contact like visibly matters more. Like those little things matter a lot, you know, when you're talking about like the difference between what used to be turnovers or just missed field goal attempts, which are now like trips to the free throw line.
Yeah, Right. And JJ Redick said this as well. But I just think, like, when you're at a 3-point deficit, like the Lakers have been for a while, I think they're 20th in makes or whatever they are. You have to rely on free throws. That's just a part of it, because you have to dominate. You're dominating from other places if you're not winning the math game. And Austin really, you know, gives that to you. And it's, which is why I always bring this up, because it just is fascinating to me that on a team with LeBron James, obviously superstar in how big he is, and then Anthony Davis, former number one pick, or however you want to put AD, late game, it's Austin Reeves with the basketball.
Yeah.
Is making decisions on the floor every single time, even tonight. It's like, here's Austin, go break down Shaden Sharp or whoever they have on you, or, you know, or Kamara. Obviously LeBron was huge at the end of the game tonight as well, but yeah, it's just, and I always say it's because Austin has a high free throw rate. He can score from all three levels, and he shoots like 89% at the line. That's just a guy that's very trusted to have the ball in his hands at the end of games, especially with the way our stars shoot free throws. But yeah, it's just insane to watch him kind of grow into that kind of clutch player. So seeing that kind of spread out throughout the game, and the usage is going to a place where this is the test, right? All right, we traded D'Angelo Russell. He's gone. The other guards are not on-ball guards. They're Gabe Vincent, yeah. Cam Reddish. It's on you and LeBron James.
There was a net there before. They cut right. The net out.
Exactly. And I'm going to keep bringing it up because I thought the Cleveland game was fascinating, because that was the first game, right? First game after the D'Angelo Russell trade. The first game where it's like, here, Austin, here's the keys. You're driving full time now. D'Lo doesn't come in the front seat at all. It's all you. And he's like, all right, cool. Here's 35-16 on the best team in basketball.
And 8 rebounds. Like, and could easily have had a 35-point triple-double.
And they should have freaking won that game. Like, the amount of open threes we missed, there was two, I'm not blaming him, but there was two open Rui threes that just clanked wide open. There was an open Max players are allowed. A slump, but Max Christie, open corner three missed. Cam Reddish took a bad open three, and then obviously Cleveland does what Cleveland does at the end of the game. But no, that was super impressive to me to do that against a really good Cleveland team, against a really good, you know, coaching staff on that end. And he stepped up, man, against a really good team. So we'll see how this continues. It's a lot on his shoulders, but he seems to be handling it.
All right, we're going to hold off on the trade specific talk. I think it's going to come up by way. I've been looking at the starred comments here that we have, and it's going to come up. So I'm going to go ahead and dive into the super comments that we have, which means we get to start with this. Fuck Washington! All right. First comment here comes from Brandon Oming on the same subject that we were talking about a second ago. Max is looking really solid. Ham screwed him over the last year. AR struggles with any type of ball pressure. It's concerning to me. Can AR be a 20-point a night player? What do you think, Rosh?
I mean, he's a 19-point a game scorer right now. I think he can be a 20-point a game scorer. He does struggle with ball pressure for sure, but I think that's kind of I think he's our best guard at attacking ball pressure as well. Like the other guards, they give it up, and Austin's able to kind of use that aggressiveness against them. But like the Jrue Holidays, the Derek Whites, which is crazy, they're on the same team. But like the top ball handling, you know, point of attack defenders are going to give all ball handlers issues. It's just the way the Lakers kind of counteract that. But 20-point a game guy, he's at 18 or 19 now, you know, so with the usage that he had before.
Yeah, I think he'll probably finish the year averaging about like 22 a game would be my guess.
And that's nuts. That's an insane amount. Ross and Reeves.
Well, they need him to also, you that's know, fair. Like if he doesn't, then they're kind of screwed. And I think that's kind of the point that Brandon is making with the question that he's asking, is like, if he can't, then what? But I think he probably finishes the year averaging about 22 points a game. LeBron probably finishes the year averaging about like 24, 25, and then we'll see where AD finishes out too.
Yeah. I'm going to add on this question. Just I'm going to point this to you. Can he be a 9-assist guy a night? He's averaging like 13 or 12 for the last 4 games. This is obviously with the jump in usage. I didn't see that at first, but I'm watching him now going, like, the playmaking has jumped a tier, and teams will adjust. It's just, do you see that kind of as the type of player he is?
It kind of depends on a couple of things. Like, I think in a vacuum, I would say yes. Because of the way that the Lakers are playing with him. But I think it also kind of depends, like, are they going to lean into the small switchy lineups where those passes are going to 3-point shooters instead of like dunkers? I think that that plays a role here in like the sheer number total here. But in terms of like, in terms of opportunities created, there's a stat for that, right? Like potential assists.
Yeah.
Like in terms of potential assists, I think Austin will probably finish the year like from like if we were able to like at the end of the year go back to when, you know, the moment that D'Lo was traded or the moment that Max got into the starting lineup. From that point forward, I think Max will probably finish like top 15 or so in potential assists. I think that would be a, you know, that's how much confidence I have in it. He has, like you put it really well earlier. There's a difference between like just like reading a defense and making the right pass, but he forces defenses into situations where like he knows which pass he needs to make, and he like, you know, kind of gets the defense to lean the other way, knowing he wants to throw that pass over there. Like having that kind of grasp and handle over the offense, it's pretty rare. You know, those kinds of guys don't like those guys create opportunities at an elite level. And I think by the end of the season, if he stays healthy and if he continues playing in this role, I think he'll be one of those elite guys.
Those are number one, also the highest paid guys in the league. And then number two, adding to the Anthony, I know we're going long on this, but a guy that also knows if you cover that pass, I'll drop 30 on you. Like, yeah. I know when to also be aggressive. And I think that's what, not to harp on him, but like, this is to me what D'Lo's issue was D'Lo was very much in the, okay, tonight I'm playmaking, but tonight I'm shooting, and not really reading what the defense is telling you what's open. So he's getting better and better at reading that every game. And yeah, just it's insane where he's jumped to.
Yep. Next question here comes from Justin Tindall, who writes, thank goodness Bron and Max shot 12 of 19 from three. What is goaltending? I have no clue. I'm nervous when AD doesn't play. The Lakers shot 50% tonight. I said this on the show that I recorded this morning, and I kind of offered up a quick explainer on why the Lakers might not go out and get a better backup center. And how much that has to do with JJ Redick. Just for a quick like refresher, I think that JJ is really hesitant to, you know, carve out minutes for a backup center, let alone a 7-footer to play next to Anthony Davis. And I think as such, the Lakers are kind of reluctant to use what few assets they have to go out and trade for a backup center. Unless they get one at an insane bargain basement type price, I think this is probably going to be the center rotation here moving forward. But like, I do think that would be a bit of a mistake. You know, I don't really believe in Jackson Hayes. I would believe more in Christian Koloko, but JJ doesn't. So I don't think we'll ever really see Koloko play the role that I would like to see him play. And if I guess to a certain extent, if AD goes down, you're screwed regardless.
Yeah.
But like, I don't like that if AD even gets into foul trouble, the Lakers are just completely screwed against most matchups.
Right. And I'm, you know, not to say the V name, but like adding Vanderbilt's also part of this as well, right? The Lakers have gone more and more small, and mm-hmm. Vanderbilt kind of projects as this small ball type of center you can play in these switchy lineups. Anthony, to me, and I've obviously been a huge Koloko guy, and I continue to believe that that guy gets minutes and he runs the floor, he plays hard, he screens well, and he finishes at the rim. Like that's all you're asking really from your backup big. I gave you the theory a few pods ago that there's no such thing as a perfect backup center, because he would then start. So it's just that's who the backup centers are around the league. But I'm with that way of thinking as well. I just don't think we need to go trade for a backup center. I don't like the options out there. I'm not a Jonas Valanciunas guy at all. And you just look at the minutes rotation. We have more forwards that need minutes anyway, especially if those guys get healthy. I haven't even mentioned Christian Wood. I'm not a huge fan of either, but yeah, I could see them just kind of sticking with this and seeing how it goes. I just think you have to remove the Rui at center units, and that's not Rui's fault. It's just he can't play center. It's just the role.
It's not Rui's fault. He just sucks at that thing.
That's just not his skill set. That's just not what he can do. And so you take that out. And I thought tonight we played a pretty solid night. I think Portland hit some tough shots. They have athletic guards that finish over the top. But like, just get those Rui at center minutes, you know, out of the rotation. I think we're cooking if you can get Koloko and, you know, Vanderbilt back in the rotation.
Yeah, I didn't like that Hayes caught a DNP CD, and it's not even necessarily about Hayes specifically, but I do think that they need some minutes when AD isn't out there with a rim protector, you know?
Yeah.
And now Hayes said that, like, he's still working on his conditioning. That's a tough thing about, like, lower body injuries. Hayes had two injuries now, two stretches that he's missed with an ankle thing. And that means that you can't run, right? That means that you can't condition in the same way. And that's going to affect your rhythm. It's going to affect your timing, and it's going to affect all these things. So maybe the DNPCD thing was, like, you know, just another opportunity for him to get that much healthier or whatever. But I do think it was a bit of a glimpse into the kind of basketball that JJ would like to play. And I don't quite agree with it to that extent. The Lakers aren't, they aren't dangerous enough a shooting team to play as small as JJ wants to play.
Yeah, but again, I think you made the point. I think it's clear that, you know, AD is going to play the 39, 40 minutes. So you're really just buying, you know, the 7-8 minutes that he's not out there. And if you can do that with playoff game, if you can do that with Dorian, Max has shown he can switch a little bit. I mentioned Vando earlier. And then Koloko. really quick on Vando, you know, at the Cleveland game, and I'm sitting pretty far from the players bench on the lower bowl. And Vando has, like, the brightest chain you will ever see hanging from, like, his pants area. I'm like, come on, man. Just get in the game, please. It's just absolutely shining bright. It's the brightest attire in the whole building.
He's got that, like, elven metal that, like, shines when it's close to, like, bad boys. It's, like, glowing in the dark. Yeah. It's like...
Bye, everyone.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bearers a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.